Chapter 10. Ending Poverty Traps. Africa is facing a triple whammy in economic development. Its agricultural performance is the worst in the world, measured as cereal yields food production per hectare. Yields have barely budged for half a century, remaining stuck at roughly 1 ton per hectare. Cropland cannot expand commensurately with the rapidly growing population, so farm sizes are shrinking. The combination of stagnant yields and fewer hectares per person has caused a decline in food output per person in contrast with all other parts of the world. The result is a continent in the chronic throes of hunger. Africa's disease burden is similarly unique in the world. Life expectancy is 46 years on average, roughly 33 years less than the average of 79 years in high-income countries. The under-5 mortality rate is a staggering 179 per 1,000, signifying that 179 of each 1,000 newborns die before their 5th birthdays. That compares with 6 deaths per 1,000 in the high-income countries. With the risk of children's deaths so high, so too is fertility, as we've discussed at length. The TFR averaged 5.5 in sub-Saharan Africa during 2000 to 2005, compared with 1.6 in the high-income countries. Africa's connectivity to world markets is similarly burdened by geography, history, and now by extreme poverty itself. Unlike the Eurasian landmass, sub-Saharan Africa is inherently isolated by the Sahara and by the lack of rivers navigable from the oceans to the interior. Moreover, the colonial powers did not build much infrastructure in the interior of Africa. In India, the British Raj constructed a thorough rail network, often connected to rural roads, in part to bring India's rural cotton production to British factories. In Africa, by contrast, rails were not built to reach villages, but rather a few diamond and gold mines. The result was not a rail network, but some disconnected rail capillaries that reached only a tiny proportion of Africa's rural population. When India needed to bring fertilizers into the Punjab and food surpluses out of that region to trade with the rest of India to achieve the Green Revolution, the rail network proved to be critical. Africa had no such good fortune. Escape from poverty. These burdens are surmountable and at a remarkably low cost. Food production can be increased. Diseases can be controlled. Education and literacy can be expanded to ensure universal coverage of the young, and infrastructure, especially roads, power, water, and sanitation, can be put in place. Indeed, these things can happen rapidly if the projects can be implemented. While in a handful of cases the limiting factor is poor governance, in most cases the limiting factor is finance. The poor know what to do, but are too poor to do it. Since they can't meet their immediate needs, food, safe water, health care, they also can't afford to save and invest for the future. That is where foreign assistance comes in. A temporary boost of aid over the course of several years, if properly invested, can lead to a permanent rise in productivity. That boost, in turn, leads to self-sustaining growth. The logical chain is the following. Temporary aid leads to boost of productivity, leads to rise of saving and investment, leads to sustained growth. The escape from extreme poverty requires four basic types of investment. The first is a boost to productivity of the core livelihood, agriculture. This is the hallowed Green Revolution that initially lifts smallholder farmers out of subsistence. The second is health, including control of the main killers, infection, nutritional deficiencies, and unsafe childbirth, through the provision of preventative and curative health services. The third is education, which ensures that households develop the requisite skills to navigate the local global economy. The fourth is infrastructure, essential for productivity in every sphere, including power, roads, safe drinking water and sanitation, phone and internet connectivity, and port services. The boost of farm production has very often been the deus ex machina that triggers the long-term growth process. It is also a process that often starts with outside help, as when the United States funded the initial research and many of the inputs, improved seeds and fertilizer, that went into India's Green Revolution that began in the second half of the 1960s. In the urban areas, the initial investment will not support agriculture, but rather manufacturing or services. Perhaps the trigger to growth will be improved roads that facilitate trade, or an improved port that permits the start of an apparel sector, or a power plant that provides vital power for factory production. Whatever the particular investment, the concept is the same. Raise productivity above subsistence in order to trigger a self-sustaining process of economic growth.